No, no, that's fine. That's fine.
What are you doing for the floor? Calling around or reptile?
And you need to stay out here.
You sitting here? Were you sitting here today? Are you helping out today?
Hey, Cole, what about this
cacao
food?
Well,
where did the bubble go?
Cacao, cacao, cacao. You know that these birds eat sheep? They'll kill sheep?
Did you know there was a vacuum dog?
A what dog? Oh, right, yeah. In Asia, they call it the civet. Ooh, you almost made me spill my cup of coffee. Careful, buckaroo. Nope, you're sitting over here. I'm going to move everything. And I'll move it. I'll move it. You leave.
If y'all don't beat it, you're gonna have to come back here with me.
Okay, they're doing fine right now. I'll just slide them on back.
What do you have?
Rag doll.
She did have a dress on. Don't let her fool you. She left it in the van. She takes her dresses off and says, "I don't want to wear them." Yeah, you know, she's very
ladylike,
isn't she?
Don't knock my coffee over. No big movements. We move slowly. Figure it out. Find your Bible.
You know what? I'm filming.
Hey, Mark, go back to.
Well, welcome everyone to Sabbath services. If you'll please find your seats, we'll begin. I'd like to first give greetings to the Mary Jo section and the rest of the congregation section.
The righteous. God's right. I don't know. I guess it's kind of hard to.
Well, welcome again to Sabbath services, and we'll go ahead and begin today with hymns. So if you'll please rise. Let's turn to number 129. 129. And we'll sing, "How Great Thou Art."
I see the stars.
A beautiful old hymn. Let's just turn back a couple of pages, actually just one time, to number 127, and we will sing "We Will Glorify."
Uncertainty. We live in a world that is predicated on trying to control people with fear. We're not to be that way. The message title is "Fear What?" Matthew 10:28. Let's turn to Matthew 10:28. It says, "And do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell." We down through the ages, or through our lives, we've had fears. When you as a kid, what were you afraid of? What are you afraid of now? Was any of you ever afraid of the dark? Probably. It wasn't the dark really that you was afraid of. It was afraid of what was in the dark that you couldn't see. We lived in a house, the only switch for the light was a string in the middle of the room. I remember turning that light off, and you head to the bed and hope you can get in before something grabs you from under the bed, because it's dark. But parents are usually amused at this one, though. Being afraid of what? You're afraid of your shadow. It's absolutely mesmerizing to watch little kids in their shadow. They'll see their shadow, they can't find it. It's like watching a cat trying to get themselves in a mirror. You've seen that before, or a dog They'll go in there, bark at it, and try to reach behind it and get it. It's not there. Those are things that are fearful that after a while you get over those. Healthy fear is good for us, whereas unhealthy fear can cost us everything. Let's turn to Proverbs 10, or 9, verse 10. Healthy fear, or reverence. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and the years of your life will be added to you. Those are good things. Matthew 6:33. And as soon as we come to the church and we're baptized, God is offering us his kingdom. How many of us want to be in the kingdom? I think every one of us here in this room want to be in the kingdom. How do you do that? You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow worries about itself. Down through the ages, the men of old feared or respected God and trusted God. God blessed them and he tested them to see what they were really made of, their character. You suppose that God doesn't do that with us? Our character is being tested all the time. Here's just a few that feared God. Noah. Noah, God saved Noah and his family, but Noah preached for over 100 years and built the ark. An ark out in the middle of a desert or whatever, would you think it'd float? There's no water there. But he did it because he trusted God. He feared not to do it. Abraham, he left his homeland, something he was familiar with, like your neighborhood, to a land he didn't know. He had no idea what he was going to run into. And he's called a friend of God because he believed God. How about Moses? Moses supposes. Moses was chosen or called to free the Israelites from the Pharaoh in Egypt. He did that. Daniel refused to worship the image of the king because he trusted God, and he prayed 3 times in his window without wavering. Also, God protected him from the den of lions when the fire and his friends from the fiery furnace. How about David? David made some major mistakes. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. But he repented, and God blessed him for that. And God called him what? The man after his own heart. We should all want to be called a man or a woman after God's heart. You can read the accounts of these accounts in your own Bible at your leisure. I don't have the time here to go through all of them. Also remember others, not just men. There was Rahab, Ruth, Esther, that's a big one there, and of course, Mary and Joseph. They trusted God. They didn't know what was going to go happen, you know, but they trusted God. But unchecked fear, this is the one we'll talk about, can be paralyzing if we allow it. We must face our fears in order to get past them, to move on. Until about the age of 16 or so, I had a bad speech impediment. I got over it, so that's why I'm here. And I can't stop talking, you know. I had a speech impediment, and we moved from one city to another, and I went to a school that had a speech pathologist. Not only was she cute, and she's from Hawaii too, you know, and I was 16, you know, but and she's probably 20. But she said, I was the first one that ever got over my impediment within 3 weeks. I knew I had it. I didn't know what to do about it. You know, I, you know, tried to put my tongue behind my ear, you know, in my eye or whatever. It didn't work, you know. So, but anyway, within that few weeks, I was over that speech impediment. So the next thing was, not long after I got out of the military, I decided to go to college. And guess what my first courses was? Speech. Public speaking. I hated public speaking when growing up. When it came to book reports, if you write them down, that's fine. I had to get up and give an oral book report, and I was just totally, you know, out of it. But anyway, I took this class, and we lived in this college where I went. You had like the bleachers up here, you know, and like a stadium. And I always sit at the back, you know, I was afraid to get at the front, you know. I could literally see my handprints on the lectern when I got back to my seat because it sweat so bad. It scared me to death. But I made it. Let's go to, I think I want to go here. But sometimes men will forget their God. And in Luke 12:32, Aramaic Bible in plain English says, "Fear not, little flock, for your Father desires to give you the kingdom." This is what he wants for us. That should be our desire as well. We're going to go to, as Paul Harvey would say, let's go to Numbers for the rest of the story. We're going to go to Numbers 13. And the children going out of Egypt, they were at a place where they were told to spy out the land and bring a report back. I'm going to turn there. Numbers 13:1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, and all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Then through the next few verses, excuse me, through 15, it lists all the names of the tribes. I won't go that, won't bore you with that. And verse 16 says, "These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hosea, the son of Nun," and it goes on through 15. Then in 17 it says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, 'Go up this way and to the south, and go up to the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests or there are not no forests, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first grapes, so it's in the fall, it sounds like. Verse 21, so they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And then they came to the valley of the Shechol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two men. Can you imagine that? Because this little thing at the store is like this, and they're probably already shriveled up there. They're halfway to prunes or raisins already. It took two men to carry this on a pole between them. Just imagine that. Imagine that. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster the men of Israel had cut down there. And they returned from the spying out of the land after 40 days. So they was out there a long time. They could see what was going on. They knew it was a good land. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation, the children of Israel, in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And then they told him, Moses, and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. It's a negative report. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up to at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But guess what? He got shot down. They're the men that went to spying. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave children of Israel a bad report of the land and that they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants, the descendants of Anak. It came from the giants, that's where Anak came. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were in their sight. So the congregation rebelled. They didn't want to go up there. They weren't willing to trust God to go up there and receive what God had promised them, had told them they could have. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? What would it be better for us to return to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of Israel But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread, and the protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And all the congregation said to stone them, the Caleb and Aaron, stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." When we reject God, he rejects us. We'll go to Matthew 10 now. Let's continue over here in Numbers. It says, "Now, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread, and our protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." He says, "I will strike them with a pestilence, Lord, and disinherit them. I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than them." And Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear it. For your might, you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. They have heard that you, the Lord, are among the people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands before them, and you go before them in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard your heard of your fame will speak, saying, 'Because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he will kill them in the wilderness.'" Lost my place here. And God tells him, "Because of your rejection, for all the days that you spent with the spies, that you rejected him, for every one of those days you will spend a year in the wilderness, and you will not go into that promised land." He can kill the soul. He can kill the body. Not a one of them went to the promised land. They died in the desert. You know. What is our take on this? Do we want to obey God when we get under stress? We see things happening that maybe shouldn't happen. Are we going to trust God and obey Him and stand up to what we believe and stand up to what God tells us? Or are we going to cave in to the people, the media? Our news is media, and it just keeps pushing us and pushing us. Our schools are, in a sense, that way, training our children the wrong way. Are we going to stand up to them and say, our kids are out of here. You're not teaching them right, you know. They have to be taught right to carry on God's word to others. We want to see that happen. The kingdom.